Lynam on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. Sunday afternoon, Memorial Day weekend. D Lynam with you here at 97.5 The Fanatic. My good friend Matt behind the glass. A lot happening today. I know there's probably a lot of people out enjoying this beautiful weather, but I hope you'll join us and join in the conversations. A lot of different things happening. We'll have to start with the Phillies because we were optimistic when we left here yesterday that we were going to come in this afternoon and be talking about something positive that happened up there in New York against those Mets.
Nope.
That's correct. It always seems to come in an inning, right? Just like that one horrible inning. Bottom of the fifth, Francisco Lindor hits a Eflin pitch that goes out to the outfield, I'll just say. Two guys are running. Now, one guy calls, says back off. And the collision of Schwarber and Herrera happens. Two runs come in. Lindor gets to third. It's now a 4-2 Mets lead. And it just looked silly. It looked terrible. The eventual loss was actually 8-2. Eflin did not have his best day. Let me get his numbers. Let's see, Eflin. Well, while I'm talking about that, just know this. The Phillies, they're now 21-26, so they're 5 games under .500. They are 9.5 back of the Mets in their division. And when Girardi was asked to, like, why is his team struggling so much of late, here was his response. It's a plethora of things. At times we haven't pitched well. At times we haven't hit well. At times our defense has let us down. There's not one thing in particular, it's different things. I mean, when you rattle off all of those things, that's basically the entire game. There's not one thing you're saying is going well on a consistent basis.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I mean, tell us something that's not obvious.
Right, but that was his answer. Oh, my goodness. So they will play again tonight at 7 o'clock. It will be Wheeler versus Chris Bassitt. I mean, if you lose this, you will leave New York 10.5 behind your division leader. All right, here's Eflin's line. He allowed 5 earned runs through 4 1/3 innings. Oh, no, that was May. All right. He allowed 7 earned runs through 6 innings, and that included Herrera and Schwarber colliding in the outfield. Well, we'll see what Wheeler can do tonight. But also, you got to give these guys some run support. I mean, 2 runs isn't going to get it done. They had a 2-1 lead before that mess took place. I don't know. It's just, it seems frustrating. And I'm curious if when you're watching, because last night I went and got a salad, really good salad, by the way, and was watching there, and they did have the audio up, which I kind of enjoyed, because they don't always do that. But the people in the place that were also watching on the various screens, you could hear the gasps of like, and it wasn't just once. It just like the bottom drops out. People really like being baseball fans in this city. They do. They want to be Phillies fans. But man, it's hard.
Especially when you score, you play 18 innings so far in these 2-game series, or in this first 2 games, and you only score in 2 of them.
Right.
You score 6 runs in 1 inning in game 1, and then 2 runs in 1 inning in game 2. So that's 16 innings that you don't put up any runs.
That's unbelievable, actually, now that you think about that.
It's not going to get the job done. And then the Little League errors, that seems like a daily occurrence these days.
I mean, I know when they said they signed the bats, Schwarber and also Castellanos, that now that situation is also partially due because Harper can't be in the field. But that, you know, this is not a strength of either guy, their fielding. However, I mean, this... And then I don't remember, I'll have to think of what inning was it, where the guy, one guy lays down a bunt, Bohm's waiting for it, waiting for it, waiting for it. Now he's safe. And then now here comes another hit right at Bohm, which he did dive and tried. He just couldn't dive fast enough or hard enough or wide enough. And it, and like even those little things start to stand out because other errors are happening that are big. And then you need those two plays were key. And you didn't get either one of them.
Because of fundamentals. It makes no sense. There should be no communication errors ever in the outfield. If I learned one thing in Little League, the center fielder is the captain of the outfield. So if he calls it, if they can't hear each other, then they need to...
Well, you can be demonstrative as you're running. As you're running towards that ball, I'm just saying, my peripheral vision, I can see another person running too. I mean, we're both headed in the same direction, coming from the different side. I'm not saying it can't ever happen, but given the way their defense has performed the night before, it feels like it's a problem with the team. It's a problem.
For sure.
Oh, my goodness. And then I'm reading an article about DeGrom, who says he feels, you know, nothing bad in that shoulder blade. I think that's where it is. But they may, given the lead that they have in their division, he won't be surprised if they hold him longer because just to save him for the postseason. So that he can be at his best when it all matters. And the point being, the bigger your lead, like, why rush back? Why rush back? And he says, I understand it as much as I want to be out there. And he hasn't, because I had forgotten the year before. So he was out half of that season. So it's and that's like, when you can play with insurance like that, oh my goodness. And then, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's not going to get any better in terms of tomorrow. The Giants come to town for a 3-game set. And while, you know, I think it's revisionist history that we should have, or they should have kept Gabe Kapler at the time. And people who want to say they wanted him here. Majority of the people did not want Kapler here. But hindsight, there's a lot of people who believe he would be helping this team more than their current skipper is. So there will be that. And obviously, we'll see what happens. Kapler is in the middle of his own personal protest in terms of not liking the direction of where our country is right now. So we'll see if any of that comes to light. I don't know. I mean, there were times when he was the manager that he got booed for decisions he made on the field. I don't know what people will do with him this series. But I know this. I think they will be more upset with the way their team is playing and should worry less about Gabe Kapler, the Giants, and his situation.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, the Phillies fans, they got what they wanted. He's out of the city. He's succeeding right now in San Francisco, and it sucks to see, but you know, it is what it is. So, but like you said, yeah, the bigger issues are going to be on the field.
Yeah, to me they are. And here's another one. So, you know the guy who pitched the other night, Bailey Falter? I didn't realize this until I was looking. So he's still on the roster, even though they're uncertain of how they're going to use him. Girardi was asked, are you going with a six-man rotation? He said he is not. He was asked if he was concerned that he only has one lefty in the bullpen. He is not. So then he leaves you the question, then why is this guy who's supposed to be a spot starter for you in case one of your starters is injured, why is he here if you're not doing six-man rotation? Because he won't get he won't be pitching soon. He would be pitching if he goes back down. And you say you're not going to put him in the bullpen, which is, I think you shouldn't put him in the bullpen because you might need that sixth starter. But doesn't it come across like you don't know what you're doing?
Yeah, it's like he's just given an answer, but he doesn't know the answer. He's just giving you something.
Right, and it seems unorganized. It seems unorganized. Now, I know you can have 14 pitchers right now. That deadline, it's June something. And then you have to have it down to 13. But you're also not organized with what that guy's routine should be right now. I don't know. And then we can get into this later. But there was a big article in the paper about the minor league system. And how a year ago, it's not the Players Association because minor leagues are not part of that. But it was basically a push to get better housing for the minor leaguers. And so they were told, all the minor leagues teams, all across baseball, to look for apartment housing for your guys. Out of all the minor league teams, with all of, single A, triple A, double A, all their things, all four of them, basically, the only team that is still has their players at all levels in a hotel sharing a room with somebody else, no kitchenette, is the Phillies. And again, it's what it looks like. It just does not, the optics of it is, so across the board, when you start looking at how they look playing right now, looking at, okay, there's a decision, you brought a guy up, now you're asked a couple of questions, none of the answers marry when it comes to Falter, and then there's a front page article, and you're the only team across, now I'm not saying there aren't others, because there are 14 teams have taken care of all their levels of minor league. So there are some that in some part of their minor league, they still had them in hotels because they couldn't find apartment housing or whatever. But they are the only one that has zero. I could not. It's
pathetic.
It's hard to fathom. And because you're afraid of being sent down or, not even sent down, being released, guys don't want to complain because they want a job. And so it just from an organizational standpoint right now, I don't know. I have to question where is the leadership in a lot of levels, with the whole organization. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, did you watch that game last night?
You know what, D? I'm on the beach of listening. I'm actually listening to you and talking to you now from the beach in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Well,
I did not see the game last night.
Oh, that's so cool. Last night was one of the first times in a while. I do it for basketball, but I actually watched the game outside on my laptop because it was such a nice evening. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kept up with the score, and, I figured it was going to, it just turned out the way I assumed it was, it's going to go this year for this team, because here's where I'm at, D. You know me, I'm a hockey guy. So now the hockey season's kind of dwindling down. There's really no teams I'm rooting for there. So I'm trying to turn to something else, to keep my interest sports-wise, because basketball is going to be ending soon, too. So I want to get into the Phillies, and from the beginning of the season, it seemed like the expectations were so high. And now here we are talking about the same stuff. inconsistent hitting, you know, bad relief pitching. You know, I don't even want to blame the starting pitching, you know, because I think they've done fairly decent for the most part. So,
yeah, they don't get a lot of runs on a lot of nights. They don't get enough run support, but I would agree with you that
there's the hitting to back up that starting pitching. And then you talk about this other story that just broke with these minor league guys. I mean, I just don't know where this organization is going. And to put my, you know, faith and even time and energy into this team, it just seems kind of like, I don't know, it would just be a waste. I could rather spend that time doing, you know, a puzzle or something.
All right, now I know you're not interested or you don't have a horse in the race in the hockey, but I like Carolina and the Rangers tomorrow night. I still always go Carolina because I'm a friend of
mine. I've been rooting for Carolina once Pittsburgh was out. So, yeah, I'm hooping Carolina. I'm a big Jordan Staal fan, so I hope they can beat the Rangers for obvious reasons. I can't root for them.
And then the other thing I hadn't realized whenever the Colorado and Oilers gets going, I didn't realize the drought that the Colorado's been in terms of Stanley Cup.
Yeah, they haven't been there. They haven't been there since I think it was like
like 20 years.
Yeah, I mean definitely early 2000s.
Yep, it was early 2000s exactly. So
it was there in 06. But, and then they lost to, who did Edmonton lose to? They lost to somebody funky. It was like maybe Tampa. It was a weird team that won it that year or something. But, anyway, yeah, no, so I'm rooting for Carolina, obviously. I can't root for Tampa to win three in a row. And I can't root for Edmonton and Colorado. I mean, they're so stacked. So, I mean, you would think they're kind of the odds on favorite, I guess, now.
Yeah. I didn't look at the odds. I should still look at the odds, but I would have a hard time. Wagering. Well, Matt and I were talking about this. Baseball and hockey, because of the low scoring, is tough.
Yeah, no, I've never been one to ever wager on hockey games. It's too unpredictable.
Yeah.
And everything that goes with it. That's just definitely one you kind of avoid. Although I have a buddy who's playing the series and he's been taking the underdogs and a lot. He's been doing fairly well for some of them, especially with Tampa.
Oh, good for him.
You never know with hockey. Anything can happen, Z.
Yes.
But yeah, the Phillies, I'm frustrated. I want to be a fan, but they're just making it really hard for me.
They are making it hard for a lot of people. All right, well, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend down there.
I will. Thanks, D. I appreciate it. You have a good one, too.
Thanks. Take care. I had to beef up on my hockey because I was like, you know what? They've had a lot of, in the playoffs, had a lot of game sevens. And another one, obviously, tomorrow night. And I said, you know, let me go read a little bit more about my hockey. So, speaking of game sevens, we have one on tap in basketball tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
I hope so.
Well, it should be, yeah.
Yeah. So, hold on. I had some interesting stats. I mean, we can go to the game seven part of it in terms of... the number of game sevens and a road team winning, obviously it's not a big number. I don't think Boston cares about that. It's 34 times. The record for the road team winning in a game seven is 34-110. So that's a winning percentage of .236. However, Boston they're 2-1 in Miami in this series, and Miami was 2-1 in Boston. So the norm isn't happening anyhow. And health, obviously, is, you know, both teams. I do appreciate that these guys, while they're banged up, like PJ Tucker was talking, I bet you they have guys as banged up as we are. And that they don't put any, you know, they just play. And after the... after Miami won the other day, Spoelstra goes into his locker room and he said the two best words in sports, game seven. And they all went like nuts. And after they had lost game five, he went into the locker room and said, bring it back May 29th. And that's obviously today's date. And his point was that was game five. He didn't say, you know, he didn't have to mention going for game six. He didn't mention like anything about what being on the road or being down or facing elimination. All he said is bring it back on the 29th. And here we are with a game seven. Pretty cool. My good friend Matt there, he put up some, pulled the scoring of everyone game by game. Because I think it's, it seems to me it'll be unlikely that Jimmy Butler can put up what he did in the last game, which was 47. Those three in the middle are concerning. Because in game three, Butler had eight. However, that said, that was the game Bam went nuts and scored 31. And so Bam's been down. When Jimmy had his 47, Bam only had six. But he can't have an 8, 6, or 13, which is what Butler's numbers were in game 3, 4, or 5. He's going to have one of his pretty good games. That single-digit guy, I just don't think that will work in terms of coming out and advancing to the NBA Finals. We'll look at what Boston has done and some of the other scoring when we return here, and we'll continue talking about the Phillies. Linda, I'm coming to you on the other side. I want to give you your full time. You always see something maybe I didn't see in the Phillies games. So we'll talk about that. And then I'm also going to tell you, because Matt, I said I was going to get up and I was going to start by watching the Grand Prix, the Monaco Grand Prix. What a riot. There was a rain, and watching the rain delay and the broadcast was so interesting to me. And I also didn't realize, I mean, I knew that the Indy 500 was happening, but this has become a really big day for people who are motorsport fans, because it goes the Grand Prix of Monaco, the Indy 500, and then the Coca-Cola 600, which is the longest NASCAR race. And it's been running for, I'll get the exact number of years. But so they go like that in order, and that it'll end tonight, the Coca-Cola 600 down there in North Carolina. So I was fascinated reading about like how big a day it is for fans and the number that will be on hand combined. When you combine all three of those, the crowds are unbelievable. So, all right, I'll share some of those numbers with you when we come back. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
D-Line on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It is Memorial Day weekend, the middle day of it, three-day weekend. Everybody loves that. Day off. Longer weekend. A lot of people look like going to the Jersey Shore for this, and the weather's cooperating. So I said going into that last break that there is an article in today's Inquirer or Philly.com, if you're... And it's basically about Joel Embiid and his tweeting of late and things he said after Miami bumped the Sixers out of the postseason. So as the Heat were losing game five, Embiid tweeted, "Miami needs another star." Marcus Hayes wrote this, but, and he says, absolutely, Embiid was implying like a star like himself. And we've seen him over the years. He's very creative on social media. One of the tweets, this was in February of 2020, where Embiid said on that he was becoming a villain here. And then Butler replied to his tweet, like, I know a place where villains are welcome. And then, of course, there's after the Sixers fell out of the playoffs, Butler said, I still wish that I was on his team. And then Embiid, I won't sit here and say that I didn't wish he was my teammate. I still don't know how we let him go, but I wish I could still go to battle with him. So, first of all, there's like a man crush between the two of them, which is fine. And it also goes on to say, like, in his opinion, meaning the person writing this, it's disrespectful to your current teammates. It's disrespectful to the people who came to play with you. And as if you're now saying, eh, I no longer want to be with you. But that is reading a little bit into it. Now, you can, I would love to know if people see it that way. I mean, because the other thing I say, this guy's extension keeps him here. He has a player option for the 26-27 season. Prior to that, I mean, now, I will never say this never will happen again because of what we just saw with Ben Simmons. Sign an extension, refuse to play, and get yourself moved with 4 years left on a contract. So to say that this won't, you know, if he wanted to get moved, I mean, that he could, is he laying groundwork? I don't know. I mean, he'd hardly be the first person who lays a little bit of groundwork like, hey, look, if we don't get some things going in the right direction, I really don't want to be here. It could be that. I do think he enjoys, now he has done less of this kind of innuendo on social media than he did in the early part of his being a pro. And that was the other thing that is he, we've talked a lot about how he's matured. And his game has reflected maturation as well. Obviously, he had a son 2 summers ago. Some people pointed to that. But so does it get in the way? And do you think, well, I'll ask you first. You think he's laying groundwork?
I think it's people are looking too much into it. I think it's just him. He's putting his thoughts out there on Twitter. They need another star. I don't think he's saying, hey, come and get me. You know, but I think it's just Joel being Joel. His name is Troel. He knows what he's doing.
Well, and exactly. He does know what he's doing. And if you are, if trolling doesn't offend you, then I think you're fine with everything. If trolling offends you, and some people are, they just don't get it. Like, what's the point? And if that's the case, then I can see how this would be, they would not find this nice.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he's not going anywhere. As of today, I don't think he wants to go anywhere. Now, it depends on what the Sixers do the next couple years and what the front office does, you know, to help him get that championship or get the team a championship. But, you know, I mean, they do need another star. I mean, they have Jimmy Butler.
Well, wait a minute. I would disagree. Well, you can tell me why, because I'm going to say no. I don't. I mean, let me just say this. If they win tonight's game, they will have been in the finals 2 out of the last 3 years.
Right. Okay. With that, but I think what he's saying is, they have. Who else is going to take over besides?
Well, it's supposed to be Bam, but I would.
It's supposed to be. Yeah. Right.
I hear you.
There's only 3 guys.
I mean, but I'll just say this. Supposedly, there are 2 stars in this city. And that didn't, nobody took over. Neither one of them took over.
No.
I didn't see a 47 or a 41. So what he considers stars, that's his opinion, but I think it can be built in a different way. And I like their depth. They have chosen depth over the perceived stars. I mean, I know there were a lot of people who we'll go back ever since the LeBron decided to go to Miami and join D. Wade, and then they had Bosch, you know, that said you need 2.5 if you're going to win a championship. And then some would even say you need 3. And if you look at Golden State, they would make Draymond, that would be the third. But that's a different kind of player. Not getting you those big numbers. He's just essential to who they are. And so I think that's what Miami's trying to do. Build it the right way for how they want to play.
Right. You're right. They do have a lot of depth. They have, 9 guys, I think, that are averaging 7 points or more in the playoffs, but it's still top heavy. They only have 3 guys, and that's including Tyler Hero, that's averaging 10 or more in the playoffs, or this series, not the playoffs.
Yeah, this series. Well, part of that is also Boston's defense.
Right. And they're averaging, I think they actually have more depth. They have 6 guys averaging 10 or more points in this series.
Yeah, that could be, let me look at that. Well, but part of that is, okay, in this series. Well, actually, Robert Williams only missed 1 game in this series. Because that's the thing I'm looking at is how many games. So, okay, you're taking Marcus Smart is averaging, almost 15. But he didn't play in 2 of the games. You know what I mean? So, it's going to, those games are going to somebody else's scoring, which kind of throws that off a little bit, is my point. There have been guys not playing, kind of makes that go in a different, little bit of a different direction.
Right. But as far as you're talking about Embiid, I think I read some of the thread under the comment and stuff, and people are freaking out like, oh, don't go anywhere. You can't leave. I just think it was him thinking out loud, and
but he does like to stir a pot.
He does,
and so that's all I'm asking. Does the stirring of the pot? I think we all thought it was kind of cool that he was becoming a little bit, like a grown up, and then stirring the pot. Like, where do you get the fun in that?
He has nothing else to do right now, and he I don't. I
well,
can't
then
remember.
Go be like Maxie, get in the gym.
He might
Did you see Maxie's in the gym? Now, maybe he's, I don't know if he had surgery on his thumb or whatever, but yeah.
I know he likes to watch sports as much as he likes to play.
That's true. And you know what? Charles Barkley watches all kinds of sports. I mean, he loves watching all sports. I got no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, he was tweeting all day yesterday about the
League. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So he's a huge soccer fan.
Well, he's a huge soccer fan because he grew up playing soccer.
Yeah.
And
but I wouldn't freak out too much about Embiid wanting to go anywhere right now. My opinion.
Yeah. Well, how about appreciate where you are? Just that. How about that? There were 2 other things, though, that I learned in reading this. One, that, all right, so he's come in 2nd in the MVP voting each of the last 2 years. And each of the last 2 years, he's been 2nd team all NBA, a feat that has never ever happened in the past. Meaning you're 2nd in MVP voting, but you don't make 1st team all NBA. So that was one thing I learned. And the other, and this is true, that his numbers in the playoffs are less than what he does in the regular season. And that you cannot say that about a Shaq, a Keem, or a Tim Duncan if you're looking at big men. And so there is something to be said for that. Now, I think things contribute to those things. I always used to say that was what it was for me also with Ben Simmons. I mean, his numbers in the postseason were not as good as a regular season. And I think, that's the whole point. Stars rise. And the further along you get, the harder it is to do that because you're going up against better and better talent each time. But somehow, the biggies, their numbers get better. And until you're able to produce like that, and that's one of the knocks they have on Harden too, is that his numbers drop off. But what we see is defense, right? And how people schematically adjust. But then you got to adjust. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Shannon in Georgia. What's going on, Shannon?
Hey, Dee, I'm doing great. How you doing?
It's a beautiful day here.
Yes, it is. Same here. Same thing down here.
Yeah. Cool.
Hey, before I get to my Embiid remark, I just got to say one quick thing. Shame on Philadelphia for not having a WNBA team. I mean, maybe I'm just a basketball nerd or something like that, but I'm telling you, I started going to WNBA games about a year ago, and the level of basketball, the value you get, mm-hmm. the skill set that these women have, I mean, it's an embarrassment, you know, literally how some of these women are treated, because the level of basketball they play, D, it's better in so many circumstances than the professional basketball we see the men play. Their competitive energy, their effort, the way the ball moves, it's phenomenal. You know, it's true basketball, and I'm a huge fan, and I would love to see Philadelphia get a WNBA team.
Yeah, you know, we had a pro team. Remember when the ABA came out before the WNBA?
Oh, yeah, that was years and years ago.
Yep, because they had everything in place, and then they hear the NBA is going to start a league, and so they get out there, and of course, two were never going to survive. And obviously the NBA backing the WNBA made, you know, that more viable. But as a result, Philly lost their team.
Yeah, and that's a shame. Yeah. Because I'll tell you right now, without doubt, the young girls, like this Ryan Howard, I just met Ryan today for the first time. The skills that these young women have coming out of college compared to the skills that the men have coming up, it's no comparison. Their games are so much more
well. Well, because most of them also stay 4 years.
Absolutely.
That's another big part of it.
It's a better product, and for the family, it's an affordable product as well. So I'm a big fan of WNBA, and I pray Phil gets a franchise. But anyway, my point on Embiid, I'm glad you guys are talking about this, because I looked at this and I saw this as a kind of a red herring. Joe Embiid is a smart guy, very intelligent young man. And both he and Jimmy Butler are very good when it comes to dealing with the media.
Yes.
Not for one second do I not believe that both these guys have, you know, spoken, you know, about this over the last couple of years since Butler left the team. I think Jimmy had a huge impact on Joe Embiid. They have a lot of very good chemistry together, and they really respect one another's game. So I think there's a little bit more to what Embiid was saying than probably most Sixers fans really want to admit. I mean, I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I call it negative sometimes.
No, and that's why I would wanted to know where people felt about it, because I don't think things like this are just, you know, oh, I just said it. I didn't even think about it. I don't believe that to be true.
He's way too bright, you know, of a young man to say that, you know. And if I'm the Sixers brass right now, every alarm in that building should be going off, because the worst thing that can happen to this organization is that the day that guy Joe Embiid leaves the Sixers, I mean, you're talking about the rowdiest place on any given NBA night is right there in Philadelphia. You know, the fan base, now you take Joe Embiid out of their environment, and man, there goes your franchise. So they have to pay attention to that, and I hope they are.
I hope. Yeah, and go help, get him some help. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, that's sometimes those kind of things are said to say, you know, come on, people, let's get it going.
Absolutely.
So,
hopefully they'll listen.
All right.
I hope so.
Shannon, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
All right, have a great day. I got to find that team. I cover them, the women's team. We didn't have Dawn Staley, but she played in that league before she went to the WNBA. That'll be how I find it. And I would say, I'd love to know, because the commissioner of the WNBA, I won't spend too much time on this, actually played her college days at Lehigh. And I would be curious if she has any intentions of expanding that league. And it's ironic that Shannon would bring this up because, let me see if I can find this.
You're talking about the Philadelphia Rage?
That was it, the Rage. Yep, Philadelphia Rage, and they played at Temple. And they had some good players, but as soon as the WNBA launched and they had like Lisa Leslie, I think Rebecca Lobo. And as soon as the big names like that were going to be part of the WNBA, am I right that it was the ABA? It's not the AB, it's definitely
ABL.
ABL. There you go.
They had, I'm reading here, Jackie Joyner Kersee was on the team.
Oh, yeah. And I knew Jackie because.
Did she play?
Yeah, she was a heck of an athlete. So I knew her from my, because my undergrad was at UCLA, and she would train there. And she was married to the track coach, and I worked in the athletic department. Yeah. No, she was a heck of an athlete.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Oh, and their first draft choice was Lisa Leslie, but she decided
to go to the WNBA. Yeah.
Wow, I never knew this.
Yes, so I'm telling you. That's why I wanted Shannon to know. It's not. But at that time, the ABL, they weren't associated with NBA teams. The WNBA, everybody went with, or they had a team associated in the city of the NBA. Because I worked for the team in Washington. So, and what happened, to get it off the ground, and this was David Stern's, kind of his genius, was so the NBA kind of supported it. And they would use their PR staff from their NBA team to work the WNBA as well. And they basically carried the team. And I think it was a 5-year plan. And after the 5 years, you had to be able to survive on your own as an individual team. The NBA was no longer supporting you. And over time, you'll see where some of them moved from where their NBA team is. And now, like if you look at the standings, you'll see where they're not associated with that particular city anymore. But they've had plenty who, you know, the league has survived. And, you know, I think the people who play wish it was further along. And the financial part. You know, I mean, when they, all you have to do is read the, you know, Brittany Griner right now, who's still being detained, you know, goes to overseas because you can make really good money over there. And, you know, your life as an athlete is only so much. Now, can you survive on what they pay you? Absolutely. But when you have an opportunity, when you're one of the top that can really cash in and make, you know, $1 million over there, that's how that always has happened. There was actually, who did it? I'll have to find it. I think it was on ESPN, but it was probably on my ESPN Plus. Somebody recently followed 4 or 5 WNBA stars who play overseas to capture their lifestyle and what that whole experience is like. And not all of them are the same. Some have had really good experiences and some not as much. But they did a really cool in-depth of following those, like they picked 4 or 5. Anyhow, Shannon, thank you for that tip. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the article about Joel Embiid and if it bothers you, I'll call them antics. They're small. I would say don't hurt people, but maybe you are offended that as a fan, why isn't he just happy with us? Or maybe you don't see it. Maybe you see it as his sense of humor. And then also we'll continue talking about what we think will happen in tonight's Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. because the NBA Finals commence, I think, Wednesday of this week, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. 610-632-0975. It's a Memorial Day weekend here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.